T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is what makes me.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James.
Live from Tampa, Florida, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James.
Joining us right now, live from Utah, is the reigning MVP from the defending NBA world champion Golden State Warriors, who are Steph Curry here in the jungle. What's up, Steph?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Thanks to Mark James, who came in here the last couple of days, did a bang-up job.
There's a lot of great sports talk hosts out there. Who's your favorite, though?
Mark with a C, James, baby.
Thanks, Steph. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors.
Phony machine. Shell, Chris Frail, Jarrett Studdum,
Tuca or Puka,
Garbage Hayward,
Byrie Irving,
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Johansson across, Coyle, score! Charlie Coyle! Austin Kruger around in front, Pastrnak, he scores! What a backhand by Pastrnak! Connected right through to Krug, and here's Kruger's shot, he scores! And the Bruins have surgically and decisively taking a lead in the series, 2-1, with a 7-2 win tonight in St. Louis.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story.
Oh, doesn't it feel so good? Control back of the Stanley Cup Final. Big win last night by our Boston Bruins on the road against the St. Louis Blues. Just like they were when they were down 2-1 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Bees come out last night and show the world really who not only the better team in this series is, but the best team in the NHL is. This is the Mark James Experience. I am Mark with a C, James, your humble narrator, here with you for the next not one, not two, not three, but 4 hours until 6 o'clock, taking you up until Red Sox pregame, and oh, we will get to the Red Sox. Oh, but, you know, people tell me I'm, you know, sometimes too negative, which I find that hard to believe in a market like Boston, considering that I am a masshole. You can say that on the air, Nick. Don't worry about it. I've already checked it. We're good. So that being said, I'd like to spread some positive cheer today on what is a beautiful day here in Boston and throughout New England, and from what I understand in Cape Cod and wherever you may be throughout this wonderful region. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, and half of Connecticut. So the 5.5 states of, before, once you get to Hartford, south of Hartford, it's kind of Yankee, Giant, Met, and Jet country. But last night, the Bruins did what I expected them to do. And I told Matty Kalman yesterday when he came on with Brian Barrett and we were doing a crossover and they were talking about the game, I said, this is the game the Bees win. And I said it starts and ends with the perfection line, the erection line, the one line, and they did not disappoint. Unlike the first two games of the series, where especially in game two, Brad Marchand was nowhere to be found. Now, the Bees started last night with some adversity in the first period as Jake DeBrusk got called for the kneeling penalty a minute into the game, and they completely killed the Blues power play like nothing. And that then set the tone for the rest of the game because that place was rocking. You know, you had Don Draper in the audience, a.k.a. John Hamm. Jenna Fischer from The Office was there. The NFL MVP, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. So St. Louis, I'm surprised they didn't bring back the Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Smith. Or Mark McGwire or Jack Clark or Whitey Herzog, providing I think Whitey's still alive. I hope he's still alive. I've been wrong about other people. All apologies to Bob Cousy. But the Bees killed that penalty in the beginning of the game, and then Patrice Bergeron struck, and you could see when Bergeron scored that goal on a power play goal to make it 1-0 that you could see the intensity in his face that he was ready for last night. He was ready for last night. The Bees were ready for last night, and they came out and they made a statement, and not long thereafter, Charlie Coyle scored his, the pride of Weymouth, I might add, scored his 8th goal of the playoffs to make it 2-0. And then, with 10 seconds left in the first period, Sean Corrali scores, which was sort of the, I want to say, straw that broke Jordan Binnington's back, if you will. Because if you go in, if you're St. Louis, into the first intermission, down 2-0, then guess what? It's not the end of the world. It's okay. It's fine. It's like, okay, listen, we've been bad, but we, you know, as bad as we've been, we kind of got them where we want them, which is great. Nonetheless, hey, by the way, Nick, we have a computer in here that is has the sound on that I'm hearing, like, in studio. I think it was Rob, the computer Rob Bradford was at, because I guess Bradford didn't know that you have to turn the sound off when you're in a radio studio. Thank you for that. All right, so as I digress, so then the Bruins had 3 goals in 4 shots in the first period. 3 goals in absolutely 4 shots, which to me was unreal. And then in the beginning of the second period, Pastrnak on another power play goal made it 4-0. And then it was goodnight, Irene, all she wrote. That was it. It was just done. And the Bees go on and they made a statement. And we knew that now, and it got so bad at the end of the second period, St. Louis pulled Jordan Binnington for the first time this postseason. He looked like a complete deer in the headlights after allowing 5 goals on 19 shots. So the Bees, the one line, they came through last night. 2 goals, 3 assists on 10 shots with 4 hits and a block. And for me, that's all I needed to see. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for that performance because, as I told you, if you listened to me yesterday, that the Bruins have been bad. Well, at least the one line has not been good in the first 3 games of the postseason. They've been really bad, and in games 1 through 3 prior to last night, they had a minus 16 rating. In games 4 through 7, they had 24 goals, 17 assists, 41 points with a plus 30 rating. So for me, that's all I needed to see. I'm not willing to say it's over, but I'm almost willing to say it's over. Game over, almost series over for the St. Louis Blues. So for me, like, that's what I need to see. And I think I'm pretty positive in watching the way the Bruins came out last night. This thing is pretty much a wrap, sort of like Paris Hilton's career. It's a wrap. It's over. You know, I know if the Blues win tomorrow night, it becomes a series again. I don't think they will. Tuca is just having one of those out of body experiences. Basically, you can see him all postseason long. He's been nothing short of spectacular, and especially last night. And the Bruins, they're just better. They have better players. Take away Tarasenko, who do the Blues have? What do they got? They don't have much. I mean, credit to them for being able to get to this point and make it all the way to the Stanley Cup, but you can see right now, this is really the men against the boys, and the Blues are the boys in this situation. That's what they are. And for me, I can tell you this right now, I'm not worried. I was a little worried going into yesterday's game. I'm not worried whatsoever anymore. Your thoughts on last night's game, 617-779-7937 to get in. I'm feeling much better now. I'm giving some positive cheer, if you will, considering that I've been portrayed as Mr. Negativity, which I find that very hard to believe, but I loved what the one line did last night. They combined for 5 points, a much better effort at 5-on-5, and the power play. Tuukka on his way to the Conn Smythe, not willing to say it's over just yet. Obviously, tomorrow night will dictate. If the Bees win tomorrow night, they will wrap it up here Thursday night in Boston, and it will be game, set, match, game over, series over. But tomorrow night is really the big one. Stomp on them, take them out. And what was awesome was like the Bruins got up early in that game last night. And that first goal by Bergeron, that was the one where it took the crowd out. And then it followed up not long thereafter by Coyle. And then they were kind of a wine and cheese crowd at that point. It didn't matter who came back through that door. There was nothing that they were going to be able to do. And I like what Bruce Cassidy, the adjustments he made. The one thing about this team is that the one line knows that they sucked in games 1 and 2. So there's nothing that Bruce Cassidy needed to do to get these guys motivated to being able to turn it around. Nothing whatsoever. They were willing, and you saw last night, they came out and they had their best effort. I thought the one line, I mean, game 4 against Carolina was tremendous. It was awesome. But last night, you needed that. I mean, the series, you know, the momentum had swung back to St. Louis. They had stolen home ice advantage for what that's worth. Everybody was there last night. They were playing Gloria, you know, John Hamm, you know, a.k.a. Don Draper from Mad Men's in the house, Jenna Fisher from The Office. I'm surprised they didn't roll out Joe Buck and Bob Costas as well, who are both from St. Louis. It didn't matter. The Bees with a superior team, and they showed why. And if the Bruins play 80%, 75 to 80% of their capability, the series will be over tomorrow night. They'll win tomorrow night, wrap it up here on Thursday. I mean, figuratively speaking, obviously not literally, but if they just play 80% of their potential, then I was a little worried about at the end of the game. I saw McAvoy was a little banged up, but I didn't hear much of that afterwards. But I just thought the effort, when Jordan Binnington got pulled out of that game, oh, that was just too sweet, to quote Scott Hall and Kevin Nash of the NWO. Oh, that was just too sweet. And they brought this guy in, Jake Allen, who was just nothing. Like, he was just like, uh-oh. It's like being the backup quarterback for Tom Brady, where you never expect to get in the game, especially when the game gets to game 3 of the Stanley Cup, and all of a sudden he was put in net, and at that point you knew it was over. They were waving the white flag. They had conceded defeat at the hands of the black and gold. So beat your chests, get the duck boats fired up. I'm, you know, tomorrow night is the one. Tomorrow night's the one where you really have a chance to get you have a chance to just go for the jugular tomorrow night, take them out, and that's it. Game over, series over. Your thoughts on last night, your thoughts on the one line, 617-779-7937. I knew they were going to step up. That was the key. I told Matty Kalman yesterday, the one line needs to step up. They're going to step up, and they did, like true professionals. I loved what I saw last night on them. All right, to the phones. You want to chime in? Trust me, I will talk some hockey with you. We can get into last night's game. Whatever you want to talk about, let's go to Jerry on the Cape, who's up first here on the Mark James Experience. Hello, Jerry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I agree with everything that you're saying. That missed call, and it was, that made it, instead of going to a two zip at the end of the period, to turn it around with a power play, and now it's 4-0. That broke Binnington's back, and that did it for the team.
What do you mean? Wait, hold on. At the end of the first period, it was 3-0, Jerry.
Yes, it was.
Right.
But that goal should have been disallowed.
Oh, really? No, I thought they got it right. Why do you think it should have been disallowed?
He was offside.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there conclusive enough?
On the replay, when they did it in slow-mo, he was offsides, but they got the call. There was a penalty that's a bench minor against St. Louis at the start of the next period. They got a goal right away, so that made it 4-0. That's a big swing.
Right. Well, 4-0 at the beginning of the second period on Pasternak's power play goal. That was and at that point.
That broke his back.
That was
done then.
Yeah.
What happens?
What can they do about running Tuukka? I got to tell you, that sucks. That's no class at all. They did it to him twice in game two.
Yep.
They did it to him last night. Can't they do something about that?
You would hope so. I mean, they call everything else. I mean, Christ, Oscar Sundqvist got, basically thrown out of game three, suspended for game three because of that hit, and they keep running Tuukka. But I don't know. I guess it's just selective persecution or selective officiating when it comes to that. I don't know why, Jerry. I really don't know.
It's Bush League. I think after last night's game, they realized that they can't skate with the Bruins, so they're going to play as dirty as they can to try to. They started to do it in the third period.
Yeah, and Jerry, I got to tell you on that third goal that you were talking about at the end of the first period with Sean Corrali, the Blues put the puck in the defensive end, so that's why it wasn't offsides and it was allowed to be a goal. That was a good call. I didn't have any issue with that whatsoever. I thought that was a good call. I thought the officials got it right. And at the end of the night, listen, you got the win that you wanted. You want tomorrow night too, just to take them out and give them no hope whatsoever. So when they come back to they come back here Thursday night, it'll be a funeral. And I think the Bruins should be dressed all in black. If they win tomorrow night, come dressed like Johnny Cash to TD Garden. It should be a blackout on Thursday night as if the Blues funeral, just like it was back in 1970 when the Bruins were up 3-0 and Bobby Orr scored that goal.
I agree.
All right,
have
Jerry.
A good one.
You appreciate it. Yeah, 617-779-7937. What a performance. Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, Bruce Cassidy is one of the most underrated coaches, not only in hockey, but maybe in sports. He knows and has the pulse of his team. He's not some sort of nerd, analytical, empty suit like Brad Stevens. You know, Cassidy played the game at the highest level. You know, and like Belichick, and I'm not comparing him to Belichick, so don't get me wrong, but here's where I am comparing. Like Belichick, he failed his first head coaching stint, like Belichick did in Cleveland. Cassidy did in Washington, and he's getting it right here in Boston. You're 2 games away from the Stanley Cup. I'll be disappointed if the Bruins don't win tomorrow night. I expect them to win tomorrow night. They're just a better team, better coach, better front office, just top to bottom. Like I said, if the Bees play 75% of their capability, it should be over. They should win tomorrow night going away just like they did last night. And I mean, pregame on the NHL Network, it was like the St. Louis pregame show. I mean, everything was St. Louis this and St. Louis that. And I understand that the series had swung back there. But, I mean, you know, there's two teams in this series. And the better team showed who they were last night. The Bruins were stunting. They were flexing for the world to see. You know? They were DK Metcalf at the combine, ripping off their shirt, showing their 8-pack abs. That's what they were. That's what the Bees did last night. They stunted. They were Lexington Steel in a porno. Stunting. That's what the Bees did. And that's what they should do. Because they're just a better. This is a reason why St. Louis has lost two football teams. And we said this when I was on Mutt and Callahan earlier this week and we had the voice of the Blues on. I go, have you gotten used to St. Louis just becoming Boston's bitch? And that's all they are. They are just Boston's bitch, period. Exclamation point. And last night, just it felt really good that we're going to, more than likely, as long as there's no mess up tomorrow night, get the duck boats fired up. There will be a parade here sometime next week. Cannot wait. 617-779-7937. Are you think I'm being a little over cocky? A little overconfident? Maybe. Maybe. But Jordan Binnington is a shot fighter now. He's like Tiger Woods prior to winning this year's Masters for the better part of the last decade from 2008 through the end of 2018. For a decade, he's got the yips. He's shell-shocked. He's a deer in the headlights. And that guy looked like a rookie last night. He's been really good up until that point, but I don't know how he's able to come back from that performance. And you could see him when he put his hat on last night and they were showing ISOs of him. He feels like he's completely discombobulated. And the Bruins basically got inside the net and they got inside his head. And the one there in the five hole, it was just like, okay, they got this one. There's no way he's coming back. There's absolutely no way. It felt so good to see what happened. And if you're a Bees fan, you've got to like the way this series has now swung. 617-779-7937. That was a statement game for the black and gold. And I expect nothing less from them tomorrow night in St. Louis to go up 3-1. Now I never was worried, but I was a little concerned. I was concerned going into last night, and I thought if the Blues had gone up 2-1, well, that's, you know, now, I mean, you still don't have a lot of margin for error, but at least now you've taken control of the series, and you now know that you have home ice advantage for now. I mean, you've got it for now, and now tomorrow night, the Bees need to treat this as if they're down 0-3. They do that, they'll be fine. They'll win tomorrow night, close it out here on Thursday, and then there'll be a duck boat parade here the following week, more than likely on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And who knows? You never know what happens during duck boat parades. Because remember 2 years ago when the Patriots, after beating Atlanta in the Super Bowl, the Bruins fired Claude Julien right before the Patriots duck boat parade. That was kind of funny.
The duck boat's ready.
Yes, we will get them ready. 617-779-7937. I don't care about that. You know, you want to go ahead and you want to take away the goal on Sean Corrali at the end of the first period. Fine. It didn't matter. It was 7-2. So what? It would have been 6-2. It didn't matter. You could have put Mike Richter, Jean-Sebastien Jaguar, Patrick Waugh, Ken Dryden. It didn't matter. St. Louis was not beating the Bees last night. They had no chance in hell. That game was the Bruins, and they showed why they are the superior team. I don't know what happened in game two. That's why sometimes it's better to get away from home. Because when you're at home, you know, I'm sure all these guys got to worry about getting tickets for all these extended family members that come out of nowhere, and they got to make sure this guy's got a parking pass and that aunt or cousin's got a parking pass. When you're on the road in St. Louis, you know, only your close family and friends got to be there, and there's not as much pressure. So Bruins on the table, your Bruins calls. I'll get to the Dead Sox coming up. Don't worry about that. I will get to the Dead Sox coming up. 617-779-7937. Take a quick timeout, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. But now it's time to trend.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Sent to the back by DeBrusk, walked over by Krug, and a shot, he scores! A deflection en route. Bergeron has tipped it in, and it is a 1-0 lead for the Bruins, and for the 7th straight game, they have a power play goal.
As good as your power play has been in the playoffs, some of the guys are saying they really weren't happy with how it was going in the first 2 games in the series. Was that something you concentrated going on, and did you have to change some things coming into this game?
We worked on it yesterday, and they're right. Ozone play in the... We scored 2 goals before tonight, both on entries. We've really focused on entry scoring. You know, worked against Carolina. You know, we try to exploit certain areas if we can. But Ozone, I thought we were forced a lot of plays, didn't recover pucks well. When we did, we didn't have the support. And I thought that goal is a good example. The Krug scored. We worked to get it back. We recovered it. We found a seam later or maybe right before that. And it just some of the things we've done typically well all year. You know, the faceoff play is a set play. We've run some certain looks. We have a real trouble getting it into Bergeron in the bumper from the half wall, so we tried it from the top as a nice tip. So some of the things we tried work doesn't always work out that way, but tonight they did. And then we got a break. I think Torrey's winning off their stick, so sometimes you got to get lucky if you shoot it, and we got all those things.
All right, the head coach of the Bruins, Bruce Cassidy here, and loving what he saw last night. Bruins two wins away from their first Stanley Cup since 2011. And they're third in the row in the four major North American professional sports. My name is Mark James. To get in, 617-779-7937. You know what else I realized, too? That, you know, when you look at what the Red Sox did a year ago, certainly not now, and the Patriots just doing what they've doing, winning their third Super Bowl in the last 5 years, and now the Bruins, two wins away from Lord Stanley Cup, the most prestigious trophy in sports, well, at least professional sports. They say individually the Heisman Trophy is the most prestigious trophy in all of sports in terms of individual awards. But in terms of team awards, the Stanley Cup is as big as it gets. I would agree with that. This is unbelievable. This is unprecedented. And I hope out there that each and every one of you, when the Bruins hopefully win tomorrow night, close out the series, have another duck boat parade next week. I hope that each and every one of you are appreciative of it, because I'll tell you something, from somebody who has grown up an only child, I have never, not always, appreciated things that I have gotten in life. And only as you get older, you get a little wiser than I do as I made it through my 30s into my now early 40s. I appreciate things that I never did when I was much younger. And I hope everybody out there, I'm speaking to you millennial sports fans and you Generation Z sports fans out there, this is not how it works. And when the Bruins win the Stanley Cup here, hopefully by Thursday, 13 titles since 2001, that is not normal. That is very irregular. And I know we, as Rick Pitino loves to call sports talk radio here in Boston, the Fellowship of the Miserable. Fair enough. But I want you to understand, if you are under the age of 28 and under, if you are 28 and under or 30 and under, whatever, it's not usually this easy. And it's certainly usually not this easy when most teams, all four teams, have won titles in a decade. That usually doesn't happen. Not to mention, all teams, or at least now the Bruins, will join the Red Sox and Patriots as winning multiple titles in a decade. That never happens. So while the Bruins are on this historic, epic run, just sit back, enjoy the ride, because I have news for you folks. There will be no duck boat parade here in November. The Red Sox are, they're not going to repeat, okay? And if you've been watching the Dead Sox, as I call them, then you know about the disgrace that they have suffered so far. See how that transition I just made? That's a big market segue right there. There will be no duck boat parade here in October, November, as the Red Sox lost for the fourth time this year to the New York Yankees last night, slipping to 500 for the first time since May 8th in a new season worst, 9.5 games back in the division. Oh, yeah. After the Yankees won last night, check this out. You talk about the bullpen. Well, you want to know what a real bullpen looks like? It's called the New York Yankees. Because the Yankees, after their win last night, are now 32-0 when having a lead this season after seven innings. 32-0. So, Alex Cora, I've got news for you. Last year was last year, but this year is now. And if the Red Sox lose tonight, Nick, you can mark my words, and I will own them. But if the Red Sox get swept tonight and fall to 10.5 games back in the division, there will be no four-peat for the American League East. They still obviously have a chance to get a playoff spot for one of the two wild cards, but that division is over. It's done. So you better hope you win tonight. I know it's only June 2nd, but there's no way the Red Sox are coming back with a 10.5 game deficit against the Yankees, who, by the way, you want to, and I'm driving in and I'm hearing Rob Bradford make all these weak ass BS excuses for why the JD Martinez is hurt and that guy's been banged up. Okay, how many games has Giancarlo Stanton played in this year? Zero. How many games has their ace starting pitcher, Luis Severino, pitched in this year? Zero. And they're 9.5, about to become 10.5 games up on the defending World Series champions. And if they lose tonight, oh, they are the Dead Sox. Yeah. They are the Dead Sox if they get swept tonight by the Yankees. I'm not saying they won't make the postseason, but they're not winning that division. It's over. And even the guy who's the biggest Red Sox homer in the city, who's nothing more than an extension for the team's PR department, Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe, with an article yesterday before last night's 5-3 loss, came out and said in his article yesterday, they're the same players, but these aren't the same Sox. And I go back to a quote by the late, great John Wooden, who was the red hour back of college basketball back in the 60s and 70s with those great UCLA teams with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton. A lot of teams have won one in a row. And you know who I'm starting to look at right now? Much differently, too, Alex Cora. Because the Red Sox last night struck out 14 times, leaving 10 men on base. Sandy Leon had the only hits with men in scoring position on the night, but in the eighth inning, with a runner on first, Alex Cora erroneously pinch hit for him with Christian Vasquez, who would hit into an inning-ending double play. Alex Cora is going way too much by the sabermetrics, analytical, nerd baseball mentality. And this team is nowhere near as good as they were a year ago. It's embarrassing. They have a $230+ million payroll, and they're 9.5 games back of a team who is missing arguably their best player in Giancarlo Stanton and their all-star ace pitcher in Luis Severino. And the Yankees didn't go out and make any real big splashes this year. I mean, they got DJ LeMahieu and James Paxton, but they didn't go out and get Bryce Harper or Mike Trout or Manny Machado. They didn't make that really huge splash, but it doesn't matter because Aaron Bleepin' Boone is making all the right moves right now for the Yankees. David Price tonight, you better exorcise those demons of Yankee Stadium, dude, because this is, if they lose tonight, man, the ish is going to hit the fan right away. Because it's not only panic button, it's DEFCON 1 for the Red Sox. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. Oh, and there was a little bit of a miscalculation yesterday, because what I'm understanding now, that Chris Sale actually got $160 million. So if you take Chris Sale's $160 million and you combine it with the $68 million given to Nathan Eovaldi plus the $40 million owed to Dustin Pedroia, you have $268 million over a quarter of $1 billion to one player who has the most losses for any starting pitcher in baseball and two guys who can't even get on the effing field. Nathan Eovaldi and Dustin Pedroia. And Eovaldi, I know, simulated game, whatever. Well, when he pitched this year, he's been horrible. So now you got to bring him in the bullpen. Folks, this is bad. This is really, really bad. Your thoughts on the Dead Sox? 617-779-7937. Nothing but your phone calls next.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Here's the pitch. And he swings and grounds it to first. Grabbed by Voit. Underhand to the pitcher. Just like that, it's over. Boy, the Red Sox had a threat. The tying runs on. And two pitches later, it ends with a double play ball and the first pitch ground out. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-3. And the Boston Red Sox are now back at 500 at 29-29. They are 0-4 against the Yankees. And they trail New York by 9.5 games in the American League East.
Well, 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 there it is. Oh, boy, the Red Sox are turning into the Dead Sox. 617-779-7937. Alex Cora at the beginning of the season, when he was asked about when the Red Sox got off to a slow start, and you know, I think if he could do it all over again, he would probably not sort of be just sort of dismissive and condescending to the media. What about last year? I mean, you can clearly tell a guy who's never been there before in terms of winning it as a manager. You know, he went right to the last year excuse. Last year was then, man. You know, in pro sports, you're only as good as now, the present, not the past. Nobody cares, man. You know, they celebrated last year, but it's 2019 and no one cares anymore. It was all fine and dandy, but nobody truly cares. And that was his thing. He went right to the last year excuse right away defensively. And that was not a good thing, especially considering where this team is at right now. I mean, 9.5 games out going into June 2nd. And they're 9.5 games out. And it could be 10.5 after tonight. And we know how David Price pitches at Yankee Stadium. And I think there was, like last night, you know, bringing Matt Barnes in the game, trying to, like, why? If Barnes is going to be your closer, why bring him into the game when you're losing? I don't understand that. They don't have an identity. You got to make one guy your closer. Or acquire a closer. There's a novel idea. But they continue to disappoint. And the money that John Henry has wasted.
I don't know if you...
And this Red Sox team, it's, you know, and I talked about Sale, Eovaldi, Pedroia. How about Rusne Castillo? Guys playing down in Pawtucket, $11 million this year. 13.5 next year. Pablo Sandoval, $18 million this season to be a San Francisco Giant. It just goes on and on and on. That's a lot of wasted money that you're not getting any return on your investment, literally, at Fenway Park. None. Pawtucket's not Fenway, and neither is San Francisco. And you got two guys who can't even stay on the field either, Eovaldi and Pedroia. It's just a bad look all around. 617-779-7937. So as much as we can celebrate and extol the virtues of, and we can celebrate and extol the virtues of the Bruins, conversely, the double-edged sword is the Red Sox. And someone called in yesterday, and they had a nickname, and usually I'm the one who comes up with the nicknames, but He called the Red Sox the Celtics of the summer. And I don't think there's a more apt description to label the Red Sox than the Celtics of the summer, because that's truly and really what they are and what they look like. And you can tell that they are still living. And by the way, they have the worst ranked farm system in all of baseball. So those prospects, they're gone. Yoan Moncada, you traded him to Chicago for Chris Sale. The guy who you traded to San Diego as well, whose name escapes me at the moment. I mean, you've traded away the entire farm. So the future's not looking bright as well. All right, go to the phones.
Though, is I totally agree with you with the Red Sox. Alex Cora has this big thing at the beginning of the season. What about last year? You know, I mean, he didn't really know if he was going to go the yard this year, and it doesn't look like it so far. But I think my big point was just they have this big championship on their back, not a target championship, and all the teams in the MLB really don't want to see them win it again. And unless they win it again, last year's really doesn't care. I mean, doesn't really make any point.
Right.
You know what I'm making?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I mean, that's the thing. Thanks. Is this team is, they're right now, they're just basically, they're holding on to yesteryear. They're like that high, you know, that senior who graduated high school like 5 years ago,
yeah.
But he keeps showing up to the high school graduation
party. Nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him. And it's like, what are they still doing here? And that's the way the Red Sox look right now. They just look like a team that has no direction, no identity, and no freaking clue, period. That's when I look at them, that's exactly what they look like. Darren in Belmont, you're up next. What's up, Darren?
Hi, the player is Espinoza, the one they traded to San Diego.
That's right. What was his first? Was it Anderson Espinoza?
No, it was, I forgot his name. He's the one that threw like close to 100 miles an hour, and they thought he was the top. Unfortunately, he's had a couple Tommy Johns, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But it's another bad trade. It's another bad trade at DeBrusky. And I get so frustrated in the neglect and the stupidity DeBrusky has. And here we are. This is the Detroit Tigers all over.
Right.
And
yeah.
No farm system, nothing coming up, no one to trade, and we got a bunch of dead money. Sandoval, Ramirez, Castillo, you went through it, and I can't believe the only people that, you know, who's the sucker? It's the fans. We're the suckers.
Yeah, and I mean, Darren, here's the thing. Like, you can get into my friends would tell me, like, you can go and buy Red Sox tickets now at Fenway for face value. I mean, it's not. Someone's like, yeah, I can get in now for $12. This is defending World Series champs. You know, it's like, they're turning into the Celtics of the summer. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look, man. And we've only just begun. If they lose tonight, oh, it's going to be DEFCON 1 around here. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It's going to be DEFCON 1. 617-779-7937 to get in. Get more of your phone calls on this and that and the Bruins right here on the Mark James Experience.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.